chapter 2 for the final time. Luke chapter 2, our Bible study together. And we are going to be reading from verse 6 down to verse 21 today. A little bit further than what has been normal. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 6. And so it was that while Joseph and Mary were there, that the days were completed for her to be delivered. And so she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people," or all nations. The word in your Bible, people or nations, is ethnos, all ethnicities. No one's exempt from the message. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, angels, tons of them, innumerable amounts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was, verse 15, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they widely made known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and as it was told them. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Church, Merry Christmas. You, I'm confident, know what you're saying and what you're talking about. People are all over, and so they should be, saying Merry Christmas. Yesterday, I had the privilege and the honor, the responsibility. Lisa said, "Look, I got so much to do. I need you to go shopping with me, and I need you to keep me on mission, keep me on target." And that's a wise woman that knows her weakness, because when she walks into a store, you can see her being gravitated towards other things. And I will say to her, "Why are you looking at that pink basketball? Do you want to buy that for someone?" "No, I just thought it was nice." No, stay focused. Keep on mission. Keep on target. And I'm kind of like that little kind of a coach. And I'm also the beast of burden that carries the stuff. And so the joy of yesterday was going around the town, going in and out of stores and hearing people say Merry Christmas. It was awesome. And it's louder than ever. It's the most I've ever heard. Praise God. Christmas is on the lips of people. And by nightfall, in fact, past nightfall, we made our last stop, and I think it was Barnes & Noble's. And we go in there, and I was so encouraged, because as soon as I walked in the door, I could hear people saying Merry Christmas to one another. And it hadn't yet been discovered that I was in the store. Because usually when I'm in the store, people find that out. They start shouting, "Merry Christmas, Pastor Jack!" I think they do that to see if I'll shout it back. Well, last night, John, who goes here, is really tall. I'm guessing 6'6", something like that. John in Barnes & Noble says, "Merry Christmas, Pastor Jack!" And, you know, from that altitude, it's like a broadcast station. And it was great. It's very exciting. And Christmas is out there, and it's everywhere, and so it should be. But when you say Merry Christmas, understand that billions, with a B, billions of people all around the world are wishing one another a Merry Christmas. And it may be, I hope, it may be that the billions of them understand what Christmas really means. It's amazing, because it is the single most universal celebrated holiday of the year. Worldwide, nothing comes close. But secondly, though it's universal, it's very exclusive. See, what do you mean by exclusive? Because even though it's so public and so many people say Merry Christmas, there are few, I think, who really understand the meaning of Christmas. And this morning, I don't know who all of you are. I don't know what all of you believe in. But listen to this. If you don't believe in the Christ of Christmas, that is, when God came down, if you don't understand this based upon the Bible, when God came down, that is the Christmas message. If you don't get it, then I want to ask you, and here comes the sarcastic part. What in the world are you doing? Stay home. You don't need to get out into the traffic. You don't need to fight the lines. You don't need to spend a penny because you don't get it. Don't celebrate it. Don't get involved in it because it's all about when God came down. That's what Christmas means. Christ, Jesus Christ, Mass, the gathering. Christmas is about those who gather around the Christ who is Jesus. We just heard the angel announce it. His name's going to be Jesus. In fact, it's not just because the angel said so in Matthew, but Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, as we've looked at these last previous weeks. Therefore, God says to the prophet, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel is not exactly a name, as the word name here means title. This is who Jesus is or what he does. Emmanuel means God with us or God among us. Jesus means that God is our salvation, our Savior. That this, listen, the Savior of the world would come down and walk among us. Jesus coming down, Emmanuel. That he would live, breathe, walk, eat, die, be resurrected and ascended back into heaven, all taking place here on earth. That's the message of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 says, by the way, all these verses are going to be on the screen, and you can follow along with them today. Matthew 1, 20. But while he thought about these things, that's Joseph. He's saying, what am I going to do with Mary? I'm engaged to her. They have 1 year engagement. I haven't touched her. She's pregnant. What am I going to do? I love her, so I don't want her to be stoned to death. How am I going to put her away? Put her away means give her a letter of divorcement. In that day, if you were engaged before consummation of the marriage, you were still considered married. And the only thing that you didn't partake of is that which produces a family, is how they stated it. You can do everything but that which produces a family. No sexual contact whatsoever. And they were promised to one another. And Joseph's thinking, what am I going to do? And so Joseph thought about these things, and behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take your wife Mary, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name, what? Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of by the Lord through the prophet, saying, you guys are already experts at this. Verse 23, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. This is Christmas. The attempt to redefine it is an attempt to depart from Christmas. And here we go. Christmas makes perfect sense to people who know what the Bible has to say. In fact, even if you're listening to radio today, if you're listening to Christmas music, are you listening to the words? They're pretty profound. Listen to the Christmas songs that we've all grown up singing. Everybody gets it, but the Indiana School Board. They don't get it. So many of you are nodding your heads. You've heard this on the news this week. That the Indiana School Board, right here in good old America, the parents and the school board clashed because handed out to the children there in Indiana was a holiday song. It's a holiday song. And the holiday song had a lot of lyrics. You can look it up online. It's all over the news. But I'm going to just going to give you two of the sections that were sung in the holiday song that the kids were supposed to memorize. All right? Now remember, it's a holiday song. When is it being sung? Well, it was supposed to be sung last week and this week in Indiana. Here's one part of the song. Allah is God. We recall at dawn, praying till night during Ramadan. At this joyful time, we pray happiness for you. Allah be with you all your life through. Problem. Christmas is not Ramadan. Ramadan is not Christmas. Who cares about Ramadan at Christmas? It's Christmas. You want to care about Ramadan, then go care about Ramadan on Ramadan. You don't sing Thanksgiving songs at Christmas, do you? You sing Christmas songs at Christmas. But the kids in Indiana are being taught that. Next line. The Christian holiday song. Did you know what I'm about to read to you is the Christian holiday song? Are you ready for it? Here you go. I didn't know there was a little boy at the manger. What child is this? I'm not sure. If there was a little boy or not, then why did you paint one on your nativity window? I just thought, if there was a little boy, I'd like to know exactly what he'd say. Yeah, Allah is God, which he's not. He wishes. But we don't know anything about the boy. By the boy, the little boy at the manger? How about the little boy in the manger, for starters? This is absolutely amazing. Public school, the parents in Indiana are up in arms over this, and so they should be. But you know what? I cut everybody else a big slice of grace. You want to know why? Everybody wants a Christmas without the Christ. We want to be recognized at this time. Well, then why don't you have a Christmas? Why don't you have a Christmas message? Listen, exclusively, but globally. You guys, we're Christians today. The amazing thing is, we're the ones. This message shall be to all people. Are you black? Are you white? Are you some color in between? It doesn't matter to God. It doesn't matter to us. It shall be to all people. And this is the message. That behold, this day born in the city of David is Christ the Lord. It's called Christmas. If your religion that you're following doesn't have a Christmas, then why don't you think of something else and leave us alone so we can celebrate our Christmas? If you don't want him, you don't have to have him. It's amazing to me. Everyone's trying to jump in on the popularity of Christmas at this time of the year. Be honest, will you? Just because your message doesn't have a Christ who comes down, and hallelujah, Christian, listen up. Our God is so big, there's nothing impossible for him. He came from heaven to earth. The Bible tells us he put on human skin, born into this world to die on the cross for our sins and to return back to heaven because he bought us out of this world. And right now, until he comes again, we've been put on layaway. Hallelujah. And I can't wait for him to pick us up. It's an amazing story. If your religion doesn't have that story, then you know what? Oh, well, you ought to become a Christian so you can enjoy Christmas. It's absolutely amazing. Well, this is vitally important. The little baby, we don't know, and I wish we knew what he'd say if he could speak. What did he say? Oh, he spoke all right. Oh, he spoke. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, he spoke. He said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord. He who is, was, who is to come, the Almighty. The baby spoke. In Revelation 1:17, I'm just getting started. Revelation 1:17, that baby grew up and spoke. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. That's what the baby grew up to speak about. Listen, if the school teachers in Indiana would let the kids read the Bible, they would know what Christmas is all about and what the baby is talking about. It's absolutely awesome. 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God has come. Can I add the word down? Come down? The Son of God has come down and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. Do you? And we are in him who is true, are you? In his Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. Wow. And then Revelation 22:20, that baby grew up, and this is what he said. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Oh, man, isn't that great? I hope he comes today. Wouldn't that be great? Well, I don't believe in Jesus. Well, be patient. You will. He's coming back. But this is vitally important. Before we get into this today, this is all an introduction. Don't worry, we're going to go real fast. On Thursday past, our staff had its annual Christmas break. We take the day off, we get together as a staff, and we do something together. And this year, the staff got on the train at Fullerton Station and went down to San Juan Capistrano, and we had lunch. And then after that, we all walked around the town and had a beautiful time. It was a blast. And there's a huge antique store there, and they have all kinds of displays. And so we're all walking around, and I began to hear some of the staff members say this. where's baby Jesus? And I'm thinking, what are they talking about? And then I heard another, where's baby Jesus? What's going on? So I looked around, and they have various nativity scenes. And the sheep are there, the donkeys are there, the wise men are there, Joseph and Mary are there. There's no baby Jesus. Baby Jesus is missing. In all the displays, he's gone. Did you guys see on the news, L.A., the city display? They had like a 5-pound baby Jesus, and he was steel cabled to the manger so nobody could steal him. And somebody cut the cable and took him. I guess if you're going to be a thief, taking Jesus is probably the coolest thing you could take. Well, ma'am, what's with the nativities having no Jesus in them? Oh, we have to put them away. Everybody, all the little children, they come, they steal baby Jesus. If you buy the nativity, then we'll give you Jesus. Because all the little kids take them. They pick them up, they put them in the pocket, they walk away with them. I think that's cool. The little kids are smart enough to know, I want a personal Jesus. They put him in their pocket. They put him in their lunch. They take him home. They lay down with him next to the pillow. I don't know. But I think that's kind of cool. Jesus, you should take home with you. It's a very beautiful thing. Where's the baby Jesus? People are taking him. Think about that. Joseph's there. Nobody takes him. Nobody takes Mary. Nobody's taking the wise men. They take Jesus. Why? Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. So listen, take them. Take them today. Grab them and go with them. So listen, it's all about this. When God came down, he gave us the gift. Now, you may be feeling really cute today, but you're not the gift. Jesus is the gift to mankind. And I'm going to give you 12 things that he gives. And I hope you have them, because I have them. I got them. You can't have mine. I'm not giving them to you. He gave them to me. They're personal. And when he gives them, you can't give it away. I can only tell you where to get it. Like, where do I get that gift? And what store has that thing? Well, let me tell you something. You don't have to go to a store to get this. But you do have to go through a door, so to speak. You have to go through the door of your own heart and open it up. What does God give? When God came down and Christmas became a reality, and can Christmas be your reality this week? Absolutely. Number one, do you have this? Jesus wants to give you full assurance in this life. Full assurance in this life. Do you have it? Do you have full assurance? Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep. Are you? See, I told you I was going to be sarcastic today. Are you? When he says, my sheep, can you say today, I'm one of his lambs? My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. Do you? And I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. If you're a Christian today, a real one, and you know the meaning of Christmas, then you know what it's like to have the full assurance of God. Far too many of you have been told in your previous religious experience, I don't know what, that you'll never know if you're really going to make it to heaven or not until you're dead. Do you know that's one of the greatest lies of the enemy? Gee, you'll never know until you're dead. Oh, that's a great comfort. The Bible says these things have been written that you might know you have eternal life. And that's in this life, and that is now. You are to know, what kind of a God would he be who promises you eternal life and you can't know what it's like to enjoy that right now? And why in the world would we tell anybody about eternal life when we don't think we got it ourselves? Full assurance. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. The question is, do you have that today? Because Christmas means you can have it. Number two, Jesus wants to give you continual blessings. I mean, who doesn't want continual blessings? Oh my goodness. Was anyone in the sanctuary, were any of you up this morning to see the sunrise? A few of you. Hey, it's more hands than I get at third service. Let me tell you that. Actually, third service, they were on their way home when the sun was coming up. So maybe they did see it. I have to tell you, I'm kind of a sunrise, sunset freak. Today was one of the most profound sunrises I have seen in California in my entire life. It was over the top amazing. The staff, we were looking at it, we're freaking out. It was incredible. And if you saw it, it changed by the second from a pale pink to an incredible red all the way. In fact, the snow on the mountains were reflecting the orange and the red and the pink, and the sky all the way even behind Mount Baldy was illuminated. It was incredible. Why? What does that have to do with blessings? Because you know what? He gave that in seconds. And if you missed it, you've missed it forever. It's over. It would never again to be repeated. Was anybody watching? Some people were. Does God care if anybody watches? I don't think so. I think he does it just for fun. He does it. You know, like a painter with the paint. And he's like, wham, wow, boom, look at that. With all the colors and it's changing. And we're like this. And then it's over. In a moment's time, God is that good. You say, what's the big deal? That's the problem with us. We are so spoiled. We've got it so good. Even in these hard times, we've got it so good. You and I know if we've lived any amount of time or not, I'm telling you right now, you think about how appreciative we are with the specter looming of losing what we have or having lost the things that we took for granted. And now they're gone. And we look and we say, thank you, God, for the time that was. Thank you, God, for this bread. Thank you, God, for this moment. He wants to give us blessings. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and to him who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it shall be opened unto him. You guys, I don't know what you're believing in. I don't know what faith you cling to. But if you're not a Christian, you don't have that verse. You don't have that to say, well, that's really great. I like that verse. Listen, this is what Jesus has promised to those who believe in him. Jesus says, come on, ask, seek, knock. Isn't that beautiful? He wants us blessed continually in this life. No matter where we might be or whatever the circumstances might be, he wants us blessed, obviously, with his presence. Third, Jesus wants to give you ultimate contentment. Contentment. In some respects, the economy is hurting. In some areas, it's not recovering because many people are staying home now. People are not spending as much. People, by the way, we're setting a record in America. In over 50 years, more Americans now are saving money. Imagine that. What a concept. Saving money. Not spending everything. They're saving. They're being more simple. People are making gifts. People are inviting family over. Think of that. People are refocusing on what makes them content. The ultimate contentment is knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing God. Philippians 4:12 says, and this is Paul speaking, he says, I know how to be abased. That is, I know how to live with nothing. And I know how to abound. That is, I know how to live with everything. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Isn't that beautiful? At this Christmas, are you going to get what you want? Well, what if you don't get it? Are you going to sit in the corner and pout? I told you I wanted a blue one. Things are getting simple. Isn't it amazing how God provides things that you can't buy and they're found in the most simplest moments? If we just slow down. Contentment. You can get the world at this Christmas and still not be content on the inside of your heart. Number four, Jesus wants to give you and I lasting comfort. Lasting comfort. I'm going to give you two verses here. I love them. They mean a lot to me. They're personal. He wants to give us lasting comfort. Number one, Hebrews 13:5. The Bible says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, God says. Is that good or what? Man, I'll never leave you. God, are you with me? God, are you there? Last Wednesday night, young lady came up, very troubled in the foyer after service, very troubled. Her heart was very heavy. She had tears in her eyes. And She said, I don't think God's listening to me. I don't know where I'm at with God. I'm afraid. I can't go out of my house. I'm terrified. And she was just talking. And I said, stop. What? She goes, what? I go, you think too much. What are you thinking like that for? You think too much. And she goes, I do, don't I? It's so cute. She goes, I do, don't I? Yeah, listen. Now watch this. I said, why don't you take your Bible and throw it in the trash can? And she said, well, I can't do that. And I go, okay. Why don't you denounce Jesus as Lord and Savior? She goes, I can't do that. And I said, why don't you walk out of this church and never come back here again? She goes, I can't do that. And I go, you want to know why you can't do that? She goes, why? I said, because you belong to him. And it hit her. So simple. Yeah, you're right. And I go, hey, sweetie, listen, Jesus wants you in heaven more than you want to be there. You need to cheer up. And you could see in a moment that the weight begins to go off of her. She's been, as it were, lifted, and comfort comes in. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Have you ever called upon him in all honesty? Oh, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I want the Christmas Christ in my soul. He'll never leave you. Once, listen, he steps in, he never steps out. You and I are so dumb, we step in and out sometimes of walking with him, but he never leaves us or forsakes us. No matter how dry or no matter how silent the heavens might seem, he will never leave. Are you calling out to him? Yes. Then keep calling out to him. But he heard you the first time, and he answers you. Comfort. And then the next verse is John 14:2. John 14:2 says, let not your heart be troubled. Jesus said that. Don't panic. You believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. Here's the punchline. I go now to prepare a place for you. Isn't that beautiful? Number five, Jesus wants to give you a deep peace in this life. Peace. In John 14:25, Jesus says, and this is right before, by the way, he ascended back to heaven. Jesus says, these things I have spoken unto you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. This is Jesus speaking. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Church, listen, when Jesus says, my peace I give to you. Listen, if any of you are struggling right now with turmoil, you're anxious, stress, anxiety, stop. Close your eyes. And let me put it to you this way. Hold God accountable to his word. He loves that. He loves that. He's calling out to us and he's saying, Jack, hold me accountable to my word. I love my word. He says in the scriptures, I esteem my word even higher than my own name. Psalm 138. We'll read a verse in that in a moment. Check this out. Father, I'm anxious. Jesus said for my heart not to be troubled. Jesus said he gives me his peace. So Lord, right now, put your peace in my heart. In my life, Lord, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to receive that from you. And I ask it in Jesus' name, amen. And my friends, just like you put on your pants and your shoes and stand up and go outside, you put on that verse, you stand up and you go outside. He is that powerful. He will do it. This is the Christ of Christmas. This is what Jesus does. This is why he came. Not only peace, but abundant supply. Number six, Jesus wants to give you abundant supply. Ephesians 3:19 says, to know the love of Christ. Boy, that's amazing. How can we know that in this life? Which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Is that not awesome? The Holy Spirit Jesus was just talking about is announcing to us that the Spirit of God stirs up the believer's heart. Listen, if this is not happening in your life, you need to ask right now. Why? The Holy Spirit has been commissioned by Jesus Christ to stir your heart. And when you hear Bible, when you hear verses, the believer's soul is buoyant. It wells up within them. It's encouraged. A non-believer, a religious person, someone who's missing Christ at Christmas, they don't have that. To stop and to unplug and say, oh God, you are so amazing that if you give me one more bit of sense of your nearness, I'm going to explode. God, you're so good. Oh, my friend, you must know this. Abundant supply. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You guys with me? Okay. Number 7, Jesus wants to give you complete understanding. This is amazing to me. Complete understanding about the things that matter. We all know people who are smarter than us, of course. We know some geniuses. They don't necessarily believe in God. Have you noticed in your own life the geniuses that you have in your life that don't believe in God? Have you noticed? Have you taken stock as to what it is they believe in? It's almost, well, I guess it is comical. They're brilliant, and then when it comes to spiritual things, it's like, what? You believe what? I mean, it's amazing. We need understanding. We don't need any more education and things that don't matter. We need wisdom and understanding first. You guys know that I love reading about our founding fathers. I love reading about the pilgrims. You guys, right now I'm going through a second time through the book by Ira Stoll. By the book, it's genius. It's awesome. It's wonderful. Ira Stoll, not even a Christian book. In fact, we got to make it a book of the month. It's incredible. The book is entitled Samuel Adams, A Life. And you are going to read about a man, Samuel Adams, who was so committed to the lordship of Jesus Christ in his life that a secular author is writing about it in a secular book. Get the book. Buy it. It'd be a great gift. Not, I already have one. Give it to somebody else. These guys were brilliant. They spoke Greek, Hebrew, Latin. Many of them entered Harvard at the age of 15 years of age. Brilliant people, and they knew God. Amazing. Understanding. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. This is Paul's prayer for the church and believers at Colossae, that area today of Turkey. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us, note that, he did it, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. What a glorious thing. Complete understanding. Number 8, direction. Jesus came from heaven to earth to give you and I clear direction. Psalm 23. The psalmist says this, the Lord is my shepherd. You ought to circle the word my. I, circle that. I shall not want. Verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. This is the Bible we're reading. You can't have the Bible read in public schools. That'll freak people out. Yeah, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. That's going to freak out a kid. He leads me beside still water. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's one of the most famous Bible verses in the world. But if you don't have the Christ of Christmas, you don't get it. You think it's a Hallmark greeting. He'll lead us clearly. Do we not need to be led? It's funny, watch this. Do we not need to be led? Women usually say, yeah. Men go, no way. You guys, yesterday morning, it was early. I stepped out into the backyard, and I looked west because I heard honk, 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 honk. You know what I'm talking about? The flyway comes right through here for the geese that are heading to Mexico. They're coming out of Canada, those beautiful black and white Canadian geese. And there's a bunch of them flying low and slow over my house. And there was one guy out in front. You know the guy that's, he's the V, right? He's the point. And they change, by the way. You know they change? The guy gets tired. Tired! Next guy pulls up. Did you know that guy goes to the back? He drafts all the other birds when he gets tired. And the next guy moves up. It's brilliant. And they're flying along, honk, 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 and they're just screaming. And there's this guy, the one goose in the front, he's going along, and you know their necks are this long, they're gigantic birds. He's out there and he's looking, and he's going like this. And he's yelling, I mean, they're all yelling, honk, 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 honk. And he goes to the left, and they're, honk, 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 and he goes a little bit to the right, they're, honk, 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 honk. And then all of a sudden, he makes a 90 degree turn, like that. And they all go, honk, honk, honk. And I said, Lisa, that guy right there, his name's Moses. He apparently wasn't going the right way. He's going along and they're all yelling and screaming at him. And he turns and his silence is golden. And I thought about being led and about being guided and they know what's going on up there. Listen, God knows. By the way, he tells those. The Bible tells us in the book of Job and the book of Psalms and Proverbs. God speaks to the migratory animals and he says, get up and go. The golden plover, I think it's called. I can't even say the name of it. The mom and dad, they hatch the eggs in Alaska. They sit on the eggs. I mean, the mom hatches the eggs. The dad takes care of that stuff. Then the mom lays the eggs. They hatch the eggs together. Mom and dad raise up the little baby guys, the little baby birds. And then mom and dad say, you know what? You guys are old enough. We're leaving. And mom and dad leave Alaska and they fly all the way to Honolulu. Every year. The babies have never been to Honolulu. And they're all sitting there, what's going on? What's happening? Where's mom? Where's dad? 2 weeks later, they take off. And they fly, guess where? Honolulu. How do they know where Honolulu is? God says, it's warmer there. Go, quick. He knows. He tells them. Is God not able to tell you? He says, I will lead you in this life. Is your life so stretched and so whacked out? God says, I'll lead you beside still waters. He gives a clear direction. Number 9, Jesus wants to give you practical instruction. Jesus says, Scripture says in Matthew 7:24, practical instruction. He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken unto him as a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. Your marriage, your children, your life, your singleness, your finances, your existence, founded upon the rock. Verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man. This is God speaking. Who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I have never heard somebody say, I followed the Bible, read it every day, prayed, did what the Lord told me to do, my life's a total wreck. I've never heard that. I've heard people say, my life's a total wreck. I wish I would have prayed, studied the Bible, and stayed close with God. Number 10, Jesus wants to give you perpetual encouragement. Two verses that encourage me personally. Psalm 138:8. These verses have been big in my mind these last few days. Listen to this. I hope it blesses you. Psalm 138:8. The Lord will perfect, complete that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Isn't that a great verse? Can you ever at any time remotely say that God was at work in your life? Well, then guess what? He ain't done. Well, it's been pretty dry for the last 20 years. That's your choice. Come on back. He wants to start working again. And then this one, it's New Testament counterpart, Philippians 1:6. Be confident. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Don't you love that? By the way, that's the Holy Spirit's job. Did you know that? He's here right now shaping us, instructing us, building us, inside of us. And then the day Jesus Christ returns, he's going to go like this. He's going to go and just toss us right up to the Lord. Perpetual encouragement, always encouraging us. If you're not encouraged, you're not reading the Bible enough. This is the creator of the universe telling you how important you are to him and what he's done to give you freedom in life. He's amazing. There's a great commercial going on right now before we wrap this up. There's a great commercial out there. We have two more points, but there's a great commercial out there. It's put on by the Ad Council. And the mom and dad, they sit down at the theater, the auditorium, and they're going to hear a great piano player. Maybe you've seen it. And the mom thought the dad had the boy, and the dad thought the mom had the boy. They don't have their boy. And they're looking around, and they see him walk out onto the stage, under the spotlight, and there's a great grand piano there. And the little kid walks through there, and he's going, ding, 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 ding. And they're all embarrassed. The parents are sinking in the seat. And then the master piano player comes out from behind the little boy, and he says, keep playing. And he reaches over, and he starts playing all this incredible stuff while the little kid's going, ding, 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 ding. And at the end, they both bow, and the crowd goes crazy. And at the end of the commercial ad, it says, encourage someone. Pretty simple, huh? You and I can go miles on encouragement. Hey, that's great. Hey, that's nice. That was really kind of you to. Wow. Amazing. Number 11, there's 12 of them. Number 11, Jesus wants to give you new life. He loves this. That's why he came. You see that little boy up in Northern California who drew the picture of Jesus on the cross? That's what that little boy is reminded of at Christmas. You know what? That little boy is more theologically accurate than some ministries. That little boy got it. Jesus Christ himself. You see who's really on trial. It's not the boy. Jesus himself said, for this reason came I into the world. That's an amazing verse. He's linking the purpose of his coming, being born in Bethlehem, to the cross in Jerusalem. A new life he bought for you and I for Christmas. John 10:10, Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. You know what? Can we just make that really personal right now? Can you imagine if I were to say right now, what if I wrote you a note and I said, listen, I came today to see you so that you know, you would be encouraged and maybe have a better life. I don't know, but I want you to have a more abundant life. I'll do anything in all this world so that you have abundant life. People would go, what a sweet thing to say. That's so kind of you. Hey, wait a minute. You don't need me to say it. I don't need you to say it. God said it. He says, I want you to have an abundant life. And that new life that he's talking about is not subject to death. Jesus said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Isn't that awesome? This is Christmas. And then 12, we end with this one. Jesus wants to give you his salvation. And it is a gift. In Ephesians 2:5, listen to this. It says, even when we were dead in trespasses, that means our sins, we were blinded to the truth because of our sins. We were dead to the truth. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. That's not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Very quickly, check this out. It's a free gift. We would say today, Merry Christmas. And that would be true if someone says, I want his gift. Now, no one exactly is going to show up and say, I want this gift. And yet that's exactly what God wants you to do. I want this gift. What is the gift? Eternal life in Jesus. And so, listen, I'm going to have the worship team come out. Check this out. Don't move. This is not the time for you to run. Listen to this. We're going to sing in a moment. We're going to bless him in singing. Before we do that, listen to this. This is Psalm 1 in the Hebrew Bible. Psalm 1. Blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, that would be those following their advice or their plans and purposes, nor stands, that is, submissive or inactive, in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down, that is, to relax or to rest, where the scornful, that's the mockers, gather, but his delight and desire in the law of the Lord. And on his law, that's the precepts, the instructions, the teachings of God, he habitually, that is, over and over again, meditates, ponders, and studies by day and by night. And he shall be like a tree planted and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in its seasons. Its leaves also shall not fade or wither. And everything he does shall prosper and come to maturity. Not so the wicked, those disobedient and living without God, are not so. But they are like the chaff, worthless, dead, without substance, which the wind drives away. Friends, listen, we end our series regarding God coming down, and it all comes down to this. It's salvation. You just heard a moment ago that salvation is free. It's a gift given. And far too many, some of you, you've been really moral, and we're grateful for that. You've been very kind, and we're happy about that. You have been such a great citizen, fantastic, and so we should be, and so you should be. But you have missed it. Listen, I plead with you. I know some people who come to this church week in and week out, and they've never made a decision for Jesus. Now's the time. Here's the reason why. You have never seen yourself in need of the Christmas Christ, desperately in need, to the point where you would travel land or sea to grab onto him. And he turns to you today and he says, take the gift. It's free. But there's a catch. You must believe in him. You must trust him. You must come to him. You must call out to him. You must rest in him. You must, metanoia, you must change your mind regarding him. And that mind, that word, metanoia, is change your course. It means I am asking the Lord. The word is repent. I, Lord, am sorry. I need the Christmas Christ of my life. I want you guys to listen to this song. It's an awesome song. David is going to sing this. And while the ushers come forward right now to receive this morning's tithes and offerings, listen to this. Listen to the words to these songs. And after the offering, and that's just for those who attend this church. If you're visiting, don't bother. After this song, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and to cast your vote regarding Jesus Christ. Do you want him as your Lord and Savior and to truly celebrate Christmas in all honesty? You think about that in a moment. I'm going to give you the chance. David?
Mama, that little child in your arms, tell me now, is he the one chosen to be the king of all creation and born to us, God's only son? But who would have thought he'd be born in a stable with less than a peasant's reward? And who would have thought that this child they called Jesus would humble himself to live as my Lord? Papa, I see that proud smile you're wearing. Tell me now, is he look at him. He's just a child like any other, but born to us, God's only son. That this child they call Jesus would humble himself to live as my Lord. Just lay your head down and rest while you can. There's so much that needs to be world needs someone who is more than just a man, and soon you will know you are the one. Mama, that little child in your arms, tell me now, is he chosen to be the king of all creation? Can I hold him, God's only son? Who would have thought he'd be born in a stable with less than a peasant's reward? And who would have thought that this child they called Jesus to live as my Lord? Mama, he hears the voice. Mama, he hears the voice.
Well, eyes are closed and hearts are bowing, as it were, before our great King, our great Lord. I want you today, maybe you're the only one in this place, and I'm not saying that to embarrass you. You're just going to be sitting right where you're at. You'll just raise your hand. God will see your hand. It's a public call. God will see you. That finally, finally, you've decided today to just to clear away all the stuff. And you heard David sing that song. Is he the one? My friend, every time you sign a check or every time you look at your watch and you see that calendar date turn or that display of what day of the week it is, what year it is, why do you think it's this year on your calendar? It's all about Jesus. There's reminders for you everywhere. And who would have thought this one, born in a manger, would be the Messiah of the world? Crazy story, huh? If it's not true, crazy story. But the Bible was written in advance of the story to tell us what to look for, how to recognize, and what to do. And right now, this is what you're to do. My friend, you'll never see heaven with us. You'll never be with us in eternity. We will never miss you because you will have never been born again. You will never be recollected. You'll never be known. And we will go about heaven, the Bible declares, in absolute joy and bliss, singing and praising and living and eating and drinking. And and you won't be there. You will be aware of having missed Christmas forever. And we will have no knowledge of you whatsoever. For Jesus says, for those who are in heaven, every tear will be wiped away and there'll be no remembrance of former things. The decision will have been yours to accept this Christmas announcement that it's all about God coming down for you. He's given you the Bible, but you've chosen not to read it. You've chosen to avoid it. You've chosen to criticize. You've chosen to fight. And all the while, God has had his hand on your forehead, and you've been swinging and swinging and cursing and punching the air. And you've missed him every time. Because you see, he can't be afflicted anymore, my friend. He went to the cross. And now he's risen from the dead. And today you need to ask him to come into your life. This is your day. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If God is speaking to your heart, this is the amazing miracle. Some of you have never heard him before, and yet now you know he's speaking to your heart. It's bigger than words. It's louder than a microphone. And yet there's this profound silence that's felt. Figure that out. If God is speaking to you today and you know you need him as Lord and Savior, that you want to come now to the Christmas Christ, while Christians are praying, I will look across this sanctuary. Is that you today? Slip your hand up real high. God bless you. Anyone else? Your soul is being stirred. There's a storm going on the inside. God bless you and you. Isn't it amazing? Anyone else? It's happening to you now. God bless you in the very back. Couple of hands in the very back. God bless you. Anyone else? It's not magic that your hand's going up, and it's not magic that you raise your hand and you get to go to heaven. What's magic, what's a miracle, is that your heart, God bless you, is that your heart's being changed. God bless you on the aisle. Anyone else? Your mind is being changed, and you're saying, that's it, I want God to see my hand because it speaks about my heart. To those of you whose hands are going up, it will be the merriest of Christmases for both now, for time and eternity. Anyone else at this last moment? Father, to these who have raised their hands, Father, we praise you and thank you. And what a miracle, the word of God going up off the page, out of the mouth, into the mind and down into the heart in nanoseconds of time. Father, for these who have raised their hands, we pray that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit. As they right now in their own words say to you, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for coming, for going to the cross for me, for dying there, for being risen from the dead, for being the eternal God come to earth for my salvation. I receive today the Christ of Christmas. And I thank you, Lord. All of God's new children and all of God's children said, church, I'm going to ask you to all stand right now if you would. And David's going to lead us in a closing song. That last song that you just...